Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right, if you would, if you'll stand as we read God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust. I practiced this word before I come out here. Somebody help me out. Praise the Lord. Even as the Gentiles, I get on my computer and I look up the word, and little Mr. whoever does the voice for Webster's Dictionary, you can click on the sound button and they'll tell you how to sound out that word. And I did that about 5 times. I said, all right, I got it. And then I come out here and I don't have it. But thank y'all for helping me. Amen. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. Lord, I ask God that you help us as we just pull out a couple truths from your word. God, I ask, Lord, that you'd help us to apply it to our life. And Lord, I ask God, Lord, that you would be with us as we fellowship afterwards. God, we're thankful for Brother John, Lord, joining into our membership here. God, I ask, Lord, that the time together we have tonight would be profitable. Lord, I do want to lift up, Lord, all those families that are tied to our church, God, that are sick tonight. Lord, I ask God that you give them the grace that they need. And Lord, we ask God that you'd heal their body. Lord, we love you tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to draw your attention tonight. Just I will be quick. Verse number 7. Paul says this. He said, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And I want to preach to you just with this thought that Paul gives us, a call unto holiness. A call unto holiness. I hope you understand tonight. Listen, these are sometimes messages that we really don't enjoy preaching. I believe it or not, there are sometimes that there are certain texts that I don't enjoy to preach because they're heavy in nature. But when you preach through the book of the Bible, you cannot skip over them. You have to deal with them. And whether we like it or not, they are profitable for us. And they are reminders for us. And in our text tonight, Paul is reminding us as God's people, as he is the Thessalonians, that we are called unto holiness. And when we think of that word holy, we think of things, I don't know what pops in your head, but things like strict, or things like, we need to act this way, or we need to act that way, and a life of no fun, and I don't know whatever pops in your head, but if we're not careful, those are the ideas that go into our mind when we think about holiness. But here's what I've learned. The closer you walk with the Lord, the closer you will desire to be holy. And Paul is telling us tonight that when he saved you, he called you unto a life not of uncleanness, but of holiness. Barna Research Group, if you know anything about them, they do research on evangelical Christians. They do many statistics. And I want to read an article of what they say. They said this. This was published 3 years ago on their website. It says, we are witnessing the development and acceptance of a new moral code in America. They said, they talk about how the Mosaics have, and these are different age groups of people, have had little exposure to traditional moral teaching, limited accountability for such behavior. The moral code began to disintegrate when the generation before them, called the baby busters, pushed the limits that had been challenged by their parents, the baby boomers. The result is that without much fanfare or visible leadership, the United States has created a moral system based on convenience, feelings, and selfishness. He continues to say that the consistent deterioration of the Bible as the source of moral truth has led to a nation where people have become independent judges of right and wrong, basing their choices on feelings and circumstances. It is not likely that America will return to a more traditional moral code until the nation experiences significant pain from its moral choices. An individual, an apologist, an author by the name of Gene Getz said this. He said, "Our world is dominated by sex. It is used in advertising to sell everything from oil to toothpaste. The displays in the windows of retail clothing stores at the mall shout just one word, and it's sex. Entertainment features sexual themes, sexual overtones, sexual undertones, and often just plain sex. Films and programs are labeled AC for adult content, SC for sexual content, N for nudity, PG-13, rated R, NC-17, and rated X, besides the vague listing for MC for mature content. This is a sex-driven culture, one in which lust constantly is being fanned into flames. Why else would the most prominent usage of the internet be to access pornographic websites?" I believe Gene, who wrote that, is absolutely true tonight. Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonians. You need to understand that the church of Thessalonica, these Thessalonians, are not much different than today. They were saved out of pagan idolatry. Just 40 miles down the road was a place of Corinth where they worshiped gods, false gods, gods where they would literally give themselves of prostitution. They have had goddesses that would sell their body. The Thessalonians were truly living in a culture and a society that was completely different than the idea of holiness. And when Paul introduces holiness to the Thessalonians, it's a brand new idea for them. They don't understand the aspect of being separate from the world. And Paul's going to give them instructions and tell them that they're called out into a life of holiness. The first time they read this letter from Paul, they come to realize that worshiping God involves a holy life. And can I tell you tonight, worshiping God involves a holy life. We are called unto a life of holiness. There is to be a stark moral contrast between society and those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you different than society? Is there a contrast between your life and society? I'm not talking tonight about being weird and about being shut out and being some hermit locked up in your basement somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is when people look at your life, they can say there is something different about them than the rest of the society. Can they say that about our life? Is there a difference in how you talk? Is there a difference in how you dress? Is there a difference in where you go? Is there a difference in what you look at on the TV screen? Is there a difference in what you let your kids participate in? I'm telling you, is there a difference in your life? Paul says when he saved you, Church of Thessalonians, he called you into a life of holiness. He's reminding us that within these verses, we've been called out from a society and culture of evil and wickedness, and called unto holiness. I want to give you three quick things we'll be done tonight. Number one, I see a requirement from Christ. Verse number four, look with me. The Bible says this, verse number one, "Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you," watch this now, "by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Look with me in verse number two. He says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Two times in both of those verses, Paul said, listen, this is not coming from me. He said, it's coming to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness tonight is a requirement from Christ. The word ought in our text means must. how we must walk in the Lord. Those who claim the name of Christ must walk and please God. You ought. The word ought is to must. We must walk and please the Lord. The term walk in your Bible has the idea of your lifestyle. The way that you live, the way that you conduct yourself, it is your lifestyle. We think of that word lifestyle in our society today. It is a term that is just thrown around. It's tossed around. Well, you just need to accept my lifestyle. This is the lifestyle that I choose. This is my lifestyle. You need to embrace this kind of lifestyle. Do y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? It's being thrown at us from every direction. But can I tell you, as God's child, you need to embrace the lifestyle of holiness. That's what God has called us to do. It's a requirement of Christ. If you claim Jesus, your lifestyle is holiness. 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy means to be separated. It means to be sacred. It means to be set apart. It is a requirement of Christ. Preacher, I don't like what you're telling me tonight. Well, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. Paul said, it didn't come by me. Paul said, I didn't make this stuff up. He said, God gave it to me and I'm giving it to you. It is a requirement from Christ to be holy. Number two, I see in our text an abstinence from sexual immorality. Verse number three, he says, for this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Preacher, what is fornication? Fornication is this: any sexual activity outside of God's definition of marriage. Any sexual activity outside of God's definition of marriage. There's a lot of marriages in our country tonight that is not a biblical marriage. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what I'm talking about. A man and a man is not a biblical marriage. Woman and a woman is not a biblical marriage. Listen, God has defined, that's why I defined it that way, fornication. It is any sexual activity outside of God's definition of marriage. The word abstain that Paul uses means to hold oneself off of. Not to go forward with, not to do, not to commit. Fornication, a very broad, all-inclusive term that refers to all sexual relations outside of a monogamous heterosexual marriage. That includes adultery, homosexuality, and it also includes pornography. Pornography, you're indulging in sexual activity outside of your marriage, and it's fornication. Paul says you are not to engage in it. You are to abstain from it. He'll tell the church at Corinth to flee from it. God's standard for sexual ethics is very simple. The only one flesh sexual relationship God sanctions is between a man and a woman after marriage and within marriage. If you live a life of fornication, whether engaged in sexual activity while not being married, whether you're indulged in pornography or you're in an unbiblical marriage such as a man with man or woman with woman, the Bible says that you are no different than an unbeliever. Look at verse number 5, the very last phrase. He said, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Church, we are living in a culture that has indulged itself in immoral sexual activity. You cannot drive down the road. You cannot go into a store. You cannot look on your phone. You cannot get on social media. If you do any of those things, it's going to be thrown at you. The devil is slinging it at you, and he's slinging it at our children. And the problem is our culture has indulged in it. And you know what Paul's saying? If you're going to live a separate life, you cannot indulge in fornication. If you indulge in it, you're living just like them. He says there's no difference. There's no difference. You want to be an example? You want to live a life of holiness? Abstain from fornication. And I know, church, tonight this ain't swinging from chandeliers preaching, but it's the truth. And all of us would do good to take heed to God's word tonight. Lastly, number three, reasons for this command. Reasons for this command. Why does Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, command for this? Well, he gives us a couple things. The first one is this: when you commit fornication, you are robbing the future spouse of the person you are committing the act with. I'm going to say that one more time. When you commit fornication, you are robbing the future spouse of the person you are committing the act with. Look what he says in verse number 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. When you commit fornication with someone, what belonged to that person's future spouse, what they were entitled to at the altar, you stole it, never to be regained. When you commit fornication with somebody who's not married, you stole what their future spouse will never get. Paul says it like this: you've defrauded them. You've taken something from them that belonged to them. Reason number two. He says this. Look with me in verse number 6. He says, so reason number 2, the Lord is the avenger. Verse number 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Can I say tonight that God will punish sexual immorality? He will punish them. You will not get away with it, even if it's undiscovered. Paul says, I'm warning you, church of Thessalonians. You commit fornication, he says, God's the avenger of it. He said, you'll be punished, you'll be chastised for it. Can I tell you, that's reason enough for me not to indulge in fornication. That's reason enough for you not to commit fornication. You're robbing the future spouse. God says, I'm going to be the avenger of it. But here's another reason. Sexual immorality is simply inconsistent with who we are in Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. To live unclean is to live contrary to what Christ has called you to do. Church, it's easy to come into this place, just like what Brother Caleb sung about. Put on a suit, carry your Bible, sing some songs. But what about when the lights go out? What about when you're by yourself? What about when you're at home and nobody's there? Paul says this: if you commit fornication, you are living contrary. You are being inconsistent with who you are in Jesus Christ. The next reason is this: when you reject the command of abstinence from fornication, you reject God, not man. Look at what he says in verse number 8. He says this: he therefore that despiseth not man, but God. When you say, well, I'm going to reject this preaching, I'm going to reject this teaching, I'm going to commit fornication, you're not rejecting the preacher, you're not rejecting the church, you are rejecting the God of heaven who has commanded you to abstain from fornication. Lastly, the reasons for this command. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Look at what Paul says, verse number 8. He therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you just for a second. You say, preacher, I'm engaged in fornication. I'm engaged in pornography. I'm having sexual relations outside of marriage. I'm addicted and I cannot stop. Can I tell you the text? Paul says this: you've been given the Holy Spirit of God. You know why he tells us that? He says, because the Holy Spirit will empower you to overcome the dominion of sin. You don't have to live in this. You don't have to live in fornication. You don't have to. Listen, I get it. It is one of the most strongest desires outside of hunger that we are involved in. But you don't have to live a life of fornication. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. You have God Himself living inside of you. And when God saved you, He released the dominion of sin over your life. And that's what Brother Doug, he was texting me about victory. He was asking me, what does victory mean to me? When it comes to having victory, you can have victory over sexual sin in your life. It does not have to have dominion over you. It does not have to dominate you. You do not have to succumb to the sin of fornication. No, why, preacher? Because you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Yield and submit your life to God. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Listen, God would never... Preacher, you don't understand. Listen, I can't obey that command. Yes, you can. God's never going to give you a command that you cannot obey. You can. And you must. You have to. It's a command from God. God has given us His Spirit to overcome sexual impurity and to walk in holiness. Can I encourage you tonight? Walk in holiness. Be pure. You want to make a difference in this community, there's got to be separation. There's got to be distinction. There's got to be holiness. And we are living in a culture that is indulging in sexual immorality. Don't get caught up in it. Abstain from it. Do what you have to do. But you need to draw the line in the sand and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Preacher, I can't do it. You can. You've got God inside of you. He'll never command of you something that you cannot obey. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, I ask God that you'd help us tonight. Lord, I understand, God, that this is heavy. Lord, this is stuff really we don't even like to read about. We don't like to hear. But God, I'm more interested and the spiritual maturity of our church than I am in numeric growth. Lord, I believe, God, the more we adhere to the holiness of Christ,